time. What am I? Who am I? What will I be?
Where you are I listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. You may recognize that music from Buck Rogers, and I know you will recognize live with us a very special guest who was a star on that show. We're going to hear from Erin Gray, and I am joined by my Emmy Award-winning TV colleague, Jack Walsh. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. This is so exciting, Erin. And Jack was director and co-producer of the Emmy-winning 4 Days at DragonCon, worked with you back then. And he is our resident maven for all things DragonCon, sci-fi, and Erin Gray.
Smart. I always go to the source.
Yeah. I think the reason I wanted to talk to Erin when I did the documentary was, you know, first of all, you know, Buck Rogers is the first sci-fi I remember watching on TV. But also, I was very interested in what you do with Heroes for Hire. And you know, you've kind of seen a multiple facets of the convention. And can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Okay. I have a company called Heroes for Hire. I would say that the theme in my life is finding the hero within yourself, living a life of integrity and honor. That's to me the greatest gift you can give yourself. So I represent celebrities who represent heroes on TV or in comic book, some way comic book related. Also pop culture heroes in your life, anyone. It could be a James Garner, could be your hero growing up. We all have our heroes. And so I represent these artists and book them at Comic-Cons and fan-based shows and personal appearances and speaking engagements and so on. Pretty much around the world, which is a really fascinating part of this business.
I'd love for you to tell us just a little bit about how you got started doing that, because I know, you were a guest at some conventions, and then you kind of got your Buck Rogers co-star interested in that.
Well, it started out with Barbara Luna, the first ladies of sci-fi.
You have to have a name like Luna to be in sci-fi, don't you think? I mean, it's sort of self-fulfilling.
Very much so. And Luna is quite the entertainer, actress, brand, dom in many ways. And she called me up one day and said, Erin, you're going to go to Saturday morning, you're going to go to this place, and you're going to just show up, and you're going to take 600 pictures with you, and you're going to call me up later on and say thank you. And then she hung up, and I went, oh, okay, Barbara, I guess I'm going to this place on Saturday morning. And I went, and there was a huge response, and I was really quite shocked that so many people had such fond memories of Buck Rogers. I was sort of living in my own world and, I guess, really not paying attention to that necessarily on a daily basis. I had gone on to do Silver Spoons, a series for 5 years, and so on. And so I was just surprised how much the show seemed to mean to people. And then I started just booking myself and investigating this world. Then one day Gil called me up and said, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, I'm going to Ohio to a fan-based show. And he said, what are you talking about? And I explained. And he said, well, that sounds like fun. I'm not doing anything. I want to go. And I went, okay, I'll call them up. And basically, he said, and I'll pay you 10%. And I went, oh, don't be ridiculous.
And this is Gil Gerard, right?
Yes, yeah. Gil. And he said, no, I'm going to make you work for it. And I went, okay, Gil. And I called up the producer or promoter, and I mentioned that Gil was interested. Absolutely. And I negotiated and then took care of all the arrangements and made the everything and got him his itinerary and took care of it. And he went off to play golf after that weekend with Mark Singer from Beastmaster and V. And I had worked with Mark Singer's sister, Laurie Singer, in a movie I'd done earlier about the modeling world, and so was somewhat familiar with the family. And he called me up and said, Erin, I want to go. This sounds like fun. but I don't want to make the phone calls. And I went, okay, 10%. And the business was sort of born. I was at a time in my life where I was looking for a way to reinvent myself. And I was qualified to be a model and an actress, and I needed a job. And I needed to keep my daughter in private school, quite honestly.
Excellent.
And, my husband and I had gone through some difficulties with our production company, and we just went, I want something steady that I could do. And I sort of fell into the world, I would say. And it's been a wonderful ride. It's been a wonderful learning experience.
Erin, we had as a guest on City Lights a little earlier in the summer, comedian Caroline Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if she ever got tired of all the references to Sabina the Teenage Witch, to being on that 90s television show. And she said never.
Yeah.
She is so touched. She said the number of people who come up to her on a daily basis and say how much they enjoyed that. She said, what more can you ask for, even if a chapter in your life is over in terms of that work, if it added meaning to other people's lives, you can keep it going. And I think it's great what you have done with Heroes for a Hire.
Well, thank you very much. And I totally agree with her in that when the fans come up to you, what are they doing? They're bestowing love and appreciation. I think maybe we need to learn to accept love and appreciation and realize what a blessing to have fallen into it. It's not like I went off and fought a war somewhere. It's not like I went in and saved somebody from a burning building or came into a domestic violence situation in the middle at 2:00 in the morning. No, I portrayed a character and it touched people. Lucky me that I, through great writing, through being part of a team of artists who come together to tell a story that affects someone, makes them wake up and see something or feel something.
We are enjoying this conversation live with Erin Gray. She will be in town for Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend. I'm Lois Reitz, is here with you and Jack Walsh on City Lights from WABE Atlanta. We'll be back in just a moment.
Erin, you were talking about how, you're always happy to receive, the love and appreciation from fans. And it seems like, more and more fans are, I guess, willing to come out to these things and, I guess, be seen, as a fan and expressing their love. When we shot the documentary, Dragon Con's attendance was 35,000. And I believe last year it was 65,000. So obviously this convention culture is growing and I guess it's more acceptable to be a nerd. I mean, can you talk a little, for lack of a better word, that the geeks have inherited the earth.
Yes, to a certain extent, but I also think it's not just for the geeks, it's for everyone.
Uh-huh.
Families and kids and mom and dads and your neighbors and whatever. It's really a chance to delve into fantasy and expressing that within yourself. I mean, the costumes and the appreciation of seeing the artistry that people put into these costumes sometimes. It's amazing. It's a weekend of creative expression, seeing friends, making new friends, having a Mardi Gras party, as you know, that's how I like to describe Dragon Con. and then looking for artists. There's some great artists who are attending there, seeing their artwork, being part of programming, hearing stories from your favorite stars on various series. Wow. What an entertaining, fun thing to do.
And the people watching, I think, cannot be topped at Dragon Con.
And like everybody's
you said,
a star.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And there's families, plenty of families, and like the kids, and that have the costumes are the cutest. And, you know, of course, you know, they've put as much work into, you know, some of them are just, you know, extremely talented kids, yeah, and, you know, with extremely talented parents. And, you know, the costumes are
and
fantastic.
And they're doing something together.
And, you know, this...
And creatively over a weekend. How fabulous.
And this whole idea of discovering our inner heroes, was that how you expressed it, Erin?
Yeah.
That kind of empowerment and raising self-esteem really brings home the seriousness of what on the surface is a very delightful and oddly funny sort of phenomenon.
I think you hit it right on the head, Lois. Exactly right. It reverberates that core concept that resonates in all of us. How can we find the hero within us?
I imagine you may have had some real tear-jerking stories from trying to help people find their inner heroes. You know, the Make-A-Wish Foundation comes to mind. Or have you been approached by people with personal struggles who wanted your help?
My focus, because of an issue in my own life, my own family, has been always domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
And I have supported first women's battered women's shelter residing in Pasadena, California, Haven House, for over 30 years. And it became a shelter in 1964. So what the core factor with these women is they gave up their core self to someone else. And they needed to find a way to grow that stance within themselves, that inner alignment, sense of worth and empowerment. And it's something that you can give yourself. First, you have to forgive yourself for the past. And then you have to say, from this day forward, with every step that I take, I do it with awareness, with love in my heart, with moving in right action at all times. And so anybody can say anything about me or feel whatever they want about me, I can't change that, but I can know that I walk in my true self, aligned, connected to the universe.
A very heroic statement from a superhero, Erin Gray, who is with us on City Lights from WABE Atlanta. Another little musical interlude back with Jack Gray and Erin Wright. On WABE Atlanta.
Here he comes, here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
Okay, Erin Gray live with us in the studio, and my Emmy Award-winning TV colleague, Jack Walsh, who's always right.
Erin, I, you know, one thing, you know, obviously we're here biased here in Atlanta about how special a convention Dragon Con is, and, you know, obviously you've seen a lot of different conventions, and I think one thing a lot of people don't know about Dragon Con is how diverse in content it is. It's not just, you know, sci-fi and fantasy. There's, you know, there's robotics. There's like the Silk Road track, which is, you know, Asian culture. The puppetry track's gotten huge. And you teach Tai Chi at Dragon Con. Yeah, tell us how that came to be.
Yes. Well, first of all, just the fact that Dragon Con provides this wonderful platform, place where people can bring their passion and share it with others. And my passion happens to be Tai Chi. And because of my company, I come to Dragon Con every year with a lot of celebrities. I don't really need to spend every Labor Day weekend of my entire adult life at Dragon Con. But if I can bring what I love, my Tai Chi, and share it with people, and we can have that exchange, that means the world to me. I find that people who gravitate towards sci-fi have a more open mind and better able to grasp certain concepts that may be very foreign to most people. Tai Chi is a powerful healing art, moving meditation, and martial art all in one. And it's like learning a musical instrument. You learn to play your body in a certain way and learn to move a certain way. Anyway.
There's so much going on at Dragon Con now. It's kind of hard to keep track of exactly what it is. And like, I myself am on a panel this year called The Anachronistic Codex of New Media and the Modern Multiverse, and I don't even know what that is.
Please define that for me.
Yeah, exactly. And then I found out it's in the alternate history track, which just confuses me even further.
Alternate history.
Yeah, oh. So that's where people... You know, generally speaking, where you talk about, okay, if this had happened in history, what would have happened?
Oh, and yeah.
So that's where you find a lot of the steampunk people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And so I thought, maybe I know what this is. When they told me it was the alternate history track, that just kind of like,
tore me down a little bit.
Imagine if you, I mean, to go back and erase all these tragic events in history, how much better off we'd be.
Yeah.
Well, better off, but also, does humanity really change? And how would it have been offshooted in another way?
Oh.
And you could talk about that for 4 days if you were so inclined.
What a wonderful way to spend the day.
I know.
Exploring these ideas and having your mind awaken to these concepts. And I wanted to say one other thing. I know before we had the break there, I got off serious about heroes and whatever. I think the other element that's so important is the fact that it is whimsy. It is laughter. It is fun. It's about having fun. And that's the comic book element that this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So let's not take life too seriously.
Okay, so Erin, Tina Fey is my hero.
Along with
Mel Brooks. What would my costume look like?
Lois is already wearing glasses. Just let me say that. So she's already moving toward the...
No, I think we'd have to explore that.
Would I need a cape?
I think we all need capes.
Oh, I love it. Great advice for life.
Exactly. Walk as if there's a cape flowing behind you.